Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. Once again, my co-host David Todd is doing work for a couple other radio stations out there at training camp. He'll be back with me on Friday for our regular episode of the Terrible Podcast. But as we do every night, we usually try to have a guest, sometimes members of the media, to fill us in what happened on the day's events at training camp. We are in day 9 already, and the voice you're going to hear, if you do not recognize this voice joining me tonight, you do not know, you don't listen to sports radio or anything like that. He is the voice of Sports Talk, Trib Live Radio in the morning. He hosts from 9 to 1. You can listen to him, sportstalk.triblive.com. I am, of course, talking about Ken Laird. Ken, welcome to the Terrible Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Great intro. People are tired of hearing my voice, but oh.
not at all. Hey, we got the Pirates in it. Right now, of course, training camp getting going. You, at least this is a, I mean, you got a lot to talk about right now. And the show seems to be doing well. A lot of great guests you have on there. Guy Junker, I think, does a great work with you as well, too. So I want to congratulate you on that. And make sure if you're not following Ken on Twitter, @Ken_Laird. Fantastic training camp tweets all week long, or back actually since the training camp started there. But Ken, let's get right to it here. Thursday at La Trobe, you know, walk us through a little bit what Tomlin wanted to get accomplished today as far as the drills and the portions of practice went.
Well, he mentioned right after practice that the two-minute offense being installed was one of the big features of the day, and that's not just the offense, that's the defense. So he spent two different sessions working on that. To be honest with you, I thought if this was a Bill Cowher session, this might be one of those days we see him kind of light his team up and give him the business. He was good for one of those every camp. But Mike took the high road today and said, you know, it's a work in progress, and he actually was pleased with what he saw. I thought it was a pretty sloppy session, to be honest. But he'll have that. They got a lot of new pieces and new parts, and obviously the new offensive coordinator. But that was one of the big features today. And they also did continued working on individual drills. The O-line versus D-line was a major session, and they also had tight ends and linebackers going at it for a good bit. So it was pretty spirited today.
One of the things I'm starting to hear now on Twitter and all like that is you know, I guess people, ever since we drafted David DeCastro, I think they expected David DeCastro to just be steamrolling everybody out there right now. You know, every other tweet you'll probably be positive about David DeCastro. But, you know, that's not the case right now, and it's really, you know, not unusual. I mean, the guy missed, you know, quite a bit of the off-season session. Of course, he was able to work the mini camp. But, you know, he's probably a little bit overwhelmed right now with being in camp. But is this a guy that's still trying to find his footing still? And, you know, I guess the same that can be said about Mike Adams as well.
Yeah, I think so. In a weird way, I think Adams was better prepared to handle pro football life. He seems to just have more buddies on the team right away, and it's kind of blended in a little bit better. Not that DeCastro's he doesn't stick out like a sore thumb. He does have some good moments, but there's no question he seemed overwhelmed. And I think it's just kind of his personality to be quiet and to silent. He keeps things to himself. He kind of stays to himself. He's had a real difficult time in some of the one-on-one drills with a couple of depth linemen. Today it was Mike Blank that gave him, you know, and again, this is one play out of a bunch. He gave him an inside move where he probably would have help from the center if this was a line scheme, and he got beaten. You could see he was frustrated, and I think there's a lot of pressure on him to be good right away. I'm sure he feels some of that. He's trying to pick up the playbook, and it's really, you're right, it's not fair to him to have all this heaped on his shoulders. He hasn't been a total bust by any means. He just hasn't been blowing people off the ball, and so he's a work in progress, and I think it really sets up for a possibility this team starts the year with Ramon Foster at right guard.
I'm starting to agree with that. Mark Cabali said the same thing. We had Mark on last night, and He, you know, he agrees with you as well too. You know, that way it kind of takes the pressure off of him too. And let's face it, you know, Ramon Foster, he was not awful last year at that right guard position. And I thought as the year wore on, I thought he was one of the most consistent offensive linemen the Steelers had. You know, and you know, it's not going to hurt to ease DeCastro in. And let's face it, Alan Faneca, he didn't start his career first week, you know, in the starting lineup for the Steelers. So, you know, we got a lot of football left, too. We haven't even played the first preseason game yet either. So, you know, definitely something to keep an eye on moving forward here. Another question, you know, this fifth wide receiver spot, and, of course, I'm meaning fifth, if indeed Mike Wallace wins and if he gets in by the start of the season. There doesn't seem to be, and I asked Kabali about this as well last night, too, there doesn't seem to be one guy that's poking his head out of the ground that wants that position. And reading a lot of tweets and a lot of reports about Tony Clemens making a couple, you know, having drops all throughout camp. Here, Marquise Mays, nice catch here and there. But it sounds like overall inconsistency at the depth of the wide receiver's position. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. In fact, I was watching those guys pretty close today trying to get a handle on, you know, just who has got any lead in the race because, you know, it's going to be an important depth spot for them. I mean, they could always keep an extra tight end instead, but typically, though, they wouldn't keep less than five receivers. And, you know, of course, Wallace factors into that. But Derek Williams has been the guy that's been given the benefit of the doubt early in camp. So once they get past Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, and Jericho Cotchery, he's been the next guy up. He's just been okay. I mean, hasn't really stood out to me one way or the other that dramatically. I thought Tony Clemens has the size. Today he had a drop on a deep ball where he really had run a nice route. This was just a two-on-two drill and, you know, wide receiver versus DB combo drill. And he got separation. He just dropped the deep ball, and Todd Haley went into him after the miss. And that's the first I've really seen Haley kind of blow up on anybody. Not that I've been around him every second. It's hard to do that. But it kind of spoke to me that they're hoping that by the end of camp, Tony Clemens is one of those guys that does separate himself a little bit because he's got the combination of size and speed, and he is a draft pick, granted a seventh rounder, but they could really use him to emerge. Otherwise, you know, Jimmy Young's made a couple of nice catches, the TCU guy here and there, but I wouldn't call him ahead of the mix by any stretch. They've just got a bunch of guys who are working their butt off trying to impress, but until we get to the games, I think it's going to be real tough to decide.
I agree, and, you know, they'll start sorting themselves out, hopefully, in the preseason games and all. One guy that you had an interview with this morning on Trib Live Radio, a guy I talked to right after he was signed, a guy whose name seems to be showing up quite a bit, is Will Johnson, the fullback out of West Virginia, converted wide receiver, now reportedly up over 250 pounds. This guy seems to have the you know, have a good chance at knocking David Johnson out of that fullback spot to make the 53-man roster. You know, have you watched him in particular the last, you know, couple of practice and care to speak on him?
Yeah, you know, today he was not featured as much. He did get one carry out of a sidecar, you know, which was pretty rare. They had him back there in the shotgun, and he got a one toe to the football, which had to get him pretty fired up, but. You know, ultimately, he's just the blocking fullback if they decide to go that way. You know, as you pointed out, he can do a little more. He's got good hands, and you've watched a lot of tape on him. We haven't seen them really utilize him in that sense just yet, but it's just unique seeing a fullback and a lead blocker. Different days up here, you'll see him featured more. Today, not so much, but on Wednesday, that was more the case. And David Johnson, they both have had looked pretty good. I wasn't over watching the linebackers and tight ends today, but I know Mark Cabali was giving me the blow-by-blow after practice that DJ got roughed up pretty good by Adrian Robinson over there, the linebacker. And before that, Johnson had been really mauling people. I think it speaks to they really have some issues at linebacker. That's a separate issue. But Johnson was owning some people, but Robinson gave him trouble. So he may be on the hot seat a little bit. That's a great camp fight. And, you know, again, we've seen some people impressed. I remember Frank Summers came in here, and we were all excited about him. He looked pretty good for a week or so, and then he got into the games, and there wasn't much tank in Frank the Tank. So, you know, that's another position where preseason games are going to tilt the tail.
I have failed to ask a lot of people about that I've had on about David Paulson so far, the kid out of out of Oregon, the tight end. Have you gotten to pay attention, you know, to him any during training camp? And if so, you know, what are you seeing out of Paulson?
He looks like a pass catcher. Looks like he belongs with the New England Patriots. I mean, they're splitting him out wide and almost using him as a wide receiver. He was with the first team offense a little bit today. Heath Miller's been really limited, so it's given the other guys a chance to work. And I think they realize Wesley Saunders is not going to be with them. They know that for at least 3 weeks. So they're seeing what David Paulson's got. I think he's got some talent. Jamie McCoy's another guy. They've got a couple of intriguing tight ends. Tight ends are much stronger than the receivers at this point, and that's kind of an understatement. But even the star receivers today, Emmanuel Sanders had a big drop in 2 minutes. It's the whole receiving game. They could go a lot of different ways with personnel, but I think they could keep an extra tight end for sure.
Switching over to the defensive side of the ball, the cornerback battle opposite Ike Taylor. Keenan Lewis sure got healthy real quick from that sprained AC joint there. That's a sign that, I like to hear that too. I mean, the kid's fighting for his starting job. And nothing was, even though he was a starter to begin training camp, it not necessarily means that he's granted that starting spot in Denver. When you look at all three of them, Curtis Brown, Cortez Allen, Keenan Lewis, what have you observed about that battle thus far in training camp?
Well, I'm a big Cortez Allen fan, not only from his games last year, but talking to him and watching him work, I think he's really going to be a solid player. It doesn't seem to me like they've got any intention of giving him a shot to win the outside spot or to be a backup out there. He's kind of strictly nickel. I think they just want him to focus on that role, and that's basically a starter on this defense. He's going to play a lot, but I like him. And Curtis Brown has looked pretty good. I mean, he's obviously different stature, much smaller and wiry, but he's a scrapper. He's got a lot of fight in him. He unfortunately got injured late last year and missed some time, but he's also one of their core special teams guys. So I think they're in good shape, those two. I'm a skeptic on Keenan. He got beat in the 2 minute drill by Antonio Brown, who's obviously good, and Roethlisberger pulling a beautiful teardrop right over top of him today. But it's early, and it's going to be a huge camp for him. This is a make or break year for Keenan Lewis. I mean, 4 years in the league, it's time to show. And I don't think he's going to have a whole lot of leash. I think Brown and Allen are coming pretty quick.
When Keenan would come off or they go second team or something like that, did Cortez stay inside in the nickel and Curtis Brown take over on the outside, or what did the rotation look like?
Yeah, Curtis stays outside the whole time and Cortez stays in. That's why I say, Ryan Mundy will come in sometimes doing the nickel. I saw a little bit of that today, and he's more of the tried and true. So you may see some of that as well, and possibly they could move Cortez to the outside, but I just haven't seen a whole lot of it. I think they want to see what Curtis Brown's got on the edge.
That's interesting, because last year too, you know, when Cortez did play, he did play inside there in a lot of the big nickel and the dime situations. Yep. There, especially against the big game against New England there. So the fourth defensive end battle, I've been asking everybody about this, Al Woods versus Corbin Bryant. Seems like that's pretty neck and neck too right now. You got a handle on that?
Corbin Bryant has really impressed me. I mean, he's a guy not too many people know, but he was impressive again today. He's physical. He's strong. He's got a nasty flair to him. He's listed at 6'4", 300, but he looks thicker than that to me, but also quick too. I think he's got a real chance. I haven't seen as much of Al Woods. He went up against DeCastro yesterday and did a nice job on him. So I think, again, it's one. And to be honest with you, Ziggy Hood hasn't really stood out so much to me as well. So they need some DN depth. It's unfortunate they drafted two first-round defensive ends, but Hayward's looked better than Ziggy to me.
When you look at the offense right now, of course, a lot of talk about the no huddle and all. A lot of things that I haven't asked a lot about as far as, you know, maybe some formation or some personnel packages. Are you seeing some two running back type personnel packages? And then by that, I'm not the fullback in there. Are you seeing something along the lines of a rocket or a pony or something like that type backfield that features two running backs?
Not so much in like a pro set with Ben under center. We've seen it with the double sidecar with the shotgun. I still think they're going to use Ben out of the gun quite a bit. And, they've done a lot of no huddle here of late and hurry up, which would lead itself to passing formation. So maybe I'm biased on that the last couple of days. But, yeah, and I think, you know, maybe not an H-back per se, but some of these tight ends. I mean, if Will Johnson makes the team, that's kind of a spot for him where he can be back there, pick up the extra blitz, help out the tackles a little bit, chip, and then get out in space. So I think you will see some of that. And, if they keep Baron Batch, that's right up his alley. Chris Rainey, of course, can do a lot of things for you. So they have some multi-purpose backs, not so much for Dwyer. I think they're trying to see what he can do in the pass game. But, we've seen Redmond on third down. So they've got some good backs that can do multiple things. I think they were going to try to take advantage of that.
I'm talking with Ken Laird, Trib Live Sports Radio. You can follow Sports Talk. Well, let's see. Go to sportstalk.triblive.com. Follow Ken on Twitter at Ken_Laird. I'm going to wrap him up here with a few more questions. Ken, not too much and to be expected punter and kicker talk, not usually something that's highlighted during training camp for good reason. Danny Rapman, I mean, let's face it, this guy, are we really expecting him to push Sean Swisham? And Jeremy Capinos, I guess he was still sidelined again with the back strain. I guess that leaves us really to talk about Drew Butler. He has a booming leg, evidently, but has problems controlling it at times. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly what I've seen. You took the words out of my mouth. He's crushed a couple, but, he's probably got a sore leg, too. He's had a lot of work here the last couple of days. He's impressive, though. I don't know much about him. You probably know more about Drew than I do. He played at Georgia, and the first day I was out here, he crushed a couple. I mean, tremendous hang time. So you never know. Capinos has been a guy they've called in a pinch, so it's nice to have somebody if need be, if he would get down. I think he's a viable candidate to come in for a couple games.
I've talked a lot lately about the outside linebacker spots, and to me, that should be the area of concern on the defense. Jason Worrells, James Harrison still have yet to practice. There's word out there that we won't even see those guys for a couple more weeks, and starting to get the feeling that maybe Worrells could be pushed off into PUP to start the season. I'm not ready to rule that out as a possibility yet. How concerned should we be with Harrison, well, basically that right outside linebacker spot, I guess. Lamar Woodley was sidelined again today. That's not supposed to be serious. But that's not what you want to hear, your top three outside linebackers, not 100% healthy right now.
Yeah, it's a real mess. Woodley, and Mike Collins hasn't said this. He said he expects him to be back tomorrow. But I think it's a groin injury. Either a groin or a hamstring. I don't like to speculate on another man's groin, but I see that watching him. To be honest, just be serious. Woodley last year got off to a slow start, and Mark Cavalli's going to be writing about this in the Trib coming up this weekend. There's some sentiment from some people in the team that he was not in shape. He was not ready to go last year, and I think you've noticed Tomlin has been hesitant to really address the Woodley situation. He's been avoiding it the last 3 days. It's not serious, but Tomlin wants him on the field. I mean, that's the bottom line. He wishes he was out there. He thinks maybe he could be or could be pushing it. That's the hunch that I get. And because they want him to be ready to go. And Harrison's a question mark. And behind him, I mean, Chris Carter's given it his all. He's got some speed. I just think it's a problem from him holding up on the edge in the run game. And haven't seen Worrells yet, so you're left with Stevens and Sylvester. They'd rather not have to play on the outside. They're going to have to. They might have to move Timmons outside in a pinch if things get bad. So it's not real good at that linebacker, and that's a position the Steelers are typically pretty confident and pretty deep in.
One final question here. What one thing, if I had to put you on the spot, what one thing stuck out in particular today on Thursday at training camp?
Well, I think the offense, in the 2 minute was just kind of a work in progress. It was a sloppy day. It just wasn't a great day. To spin a positive, though, I've been really impressed by Steve McClendon all camp. He might be the most consistent day in and day out. That guy is a force. And we saw him last year, and, Casey Hampton warned everybody not to underestimate this guy. He is a good, good player. I think he gives him a lot of luxury with Hampton going to be on pup. And he said he's shooting for September 9th, but either way, he'll have to ease his way in, and they don't have to play Alameda Tamu right away. He's one of the stars of camp to me so far, and hard worker. John Mitchell's worked with him for a couple years now and really spent a lot of time on him. He is just solid. He and Pouncey have gone up against each other a lot, and he's got a fierce bull rush, just push and pounce you back into the backfield. I think he's kind of an emerging real story for this team, another one of those diamonds in the rough they were able to mine.
Ken, I know you're not told enough, but you do a great job on Sports Talk Trib Live Radio. You also, during training camp, you're one of the guys that are a must-follow for any Steeler fan, and especially someone like me, who relies heavily on media reports such as that. So before I let you go, I want to make sure you know we appreciate that. Steeler Nation appreciates that, and I think you're very good at what you do. And for those listeners, make sure you're following Ken at Ken_Laird. Listen to him every weekday, 9 to 1 on Trib Live Radio. Ken, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy afternoon and to join us on a terrible podcast.
Happy to come on anytime, Dave. Thanks for the kind words, and you guys do an amazing job there at the Depot. So keep it up, and we appreciate all the support you've given us.